Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Hey, Larson.
And welcome back to Going in Raw, dude. Brief. We're going to try to keep this one brief today, Larson, because we're going to go Florida and we're going to go attend a live wrestling show this That's Monday, right?
No, not quite.
No.
But, you know, if everything goes according to plan, the plan laid out by the reopened Florida Task Force, we could be seeing the return of live wrestling in front of fans maybe soon-ish because Florida, they're entering phase one of their multi-phase plan to reopen the state. One aspect of that is there's a task force, the bunch of people, I believe it's led by the Lieutenant Governor of Florida. The task force I mentioned earlier, Reopen Florida Task Force. They have a report. In that report, they lay forth a recommendation that large spectator sporting events should return so long as they use, quote, strict social distancing guidelines or limit occupancy of venues to 25% of building capacity. The report indicates this rollout would be for Florida, the entire state, save for Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. That's Southeast Florida. I believe those counties are the hardest hit thus far. The plan to potentially roll out is maybe could start as soon as Monday, May 4th. That's for phase one. For phase two, that could be as soon as May 18th. And phase two ups the capacity limit to 50%. Of the venue's capacity.
Now, in mind, this is simply
the recommendations.
His task force put together a report, which was their recommendation to the governor. But he held two press conferences today, Larson. And what did he say during those press conferences?
A lot about testing, a lot about how many hospital beds they had available, a lot about state parks reopening. However, nothing specifically about sporting events reopening at all, if anytime soon. He did mention a couple instances about phase one kicking off for most of the state on Monday. However, there's a bit of confusion because on Wednesday, DeSantis held a press conference outlining phase one. And in that, the things that were going to be reopening were vastly different from what was in this reopened Florida task force. For example, as mentioned Wednesday, it was only restaurants and retail stores that were going to be reopening at 25% capacity. But I believe in some of the supplemental materials from that press conference, it said in there explicitly that sporting venues would still be closed.
And another thing that he mentioned at the press at both press conferences today, which stood out to me in terms of, you know, what we can expect, how he's taking these recommendations, was he had, in order to contrast his policy about reopening the state parks, he talked about instances where the virus spread like wildfire, and the wildfire
the biological
was the term
bombs,
he used.
Or as they call it, yes.
And he used as examples places where a lot of people were packed into a venue. He noted one funeral
in Albany, Georgia. Yeah,
and there was, I think, like a convention of some sort, like some sort of business convention.
Yeah, it was some sort of a bio medical convention of some sort. Yeah,
ironically enough. And so he obviously didn't say. I would imagine that if he had planned on saying, "Hey, sporting venues are open for business at 25% capacity," he totally would have said that today. You know, as of Monday.
Yeah, because it would have been well in line with his previous remarks about giving people you know, recreational outlets, distractions, so on and so forth. He's spoken at several press conferences in the past about the need to reopen the state for those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's sure there's an economic, potentially an economic impact associated with those, but also to give people essentially something to do while they're home.
Yeah, yeah. And so I don't know, man. Like, could he turn around, you know, later today or on Monday? I mean, it's funny because this recommendation, it was like full speed ahead. The task force was like full speed ahead on this because they said by May 18th that sporting venues can be at 50% capacity, mm-hmm. which is like an insanely fast way to go here.
You don't even get a good sense of the impact of the first phase of reopening two weeks down the road. You get the first trickles of that. You don't get the full impact of it. So just to be clear, it seems there is some confusion, so I can understand why the perception could be that the states could be open for business on Monday, and Ra's going to be live from the Amway Center in Orlando. because on Wednesday, he did speak about phase one, but the criteria and what's laid out in phase one that he mentioned Wednesday is different from what was laid out in the task force's report that came out today.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
They're labeled phase one, phase two, phase three, so on. But I get the feeling that there's different, like there's phases in two different things that might have some overlap, but I don't think they're the same thing right now.
Now, I will almost guarantee that Vince McMahon is trying to work whatever political magic he can to try to get that. Number one, it wouldn't surprise me if he was somehow involved in getting that listed in phase one in this recommendation. But I mean, that's just pure speculation on my part. I guess one of the things is, though, it kind of feels like Florida might be the place to go at some point in the nearer future than any other place. Tom Colohue actually was reporting today that WWE have multiple venues on hold and are expected to go live soon. I'm assuming he means in Florida.
No, because later on he specified.
Oh, he says here. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I should have looked ahead. He specified they have a number of venues lined up across the United States and venues booked ready to go.
And that aligns with what Vince said during the last conference call, which was, even if should Florida not be made available to them to do their shows as they exist now at the Performance Center, other states had already been lining up to offer potentially venues, and that they, you know, as soon as they get the green light to start having shows in front of fans again, they're ready to go.
Speaking of other states, Dave Meltzer is reporting in this week's Wrestling Observer newsletter that, quote, the word out of Oklahoma is that Governor Kevin Stitt is trying to bring in pro wrestling, MMA, and boxing as a way to generate revenue. The only way to generate revenue from those events is with live attendance and people traveling to shows. The idea is that the states that open up arenas to fans first will be able to get everyone running to run shows there before the rest of the country opens up, while other wrestling promotions might be gearing up to run live shows in front of fans. Ring of Honor is actually canceling everything they had planned for June, saying this, maintaining the commitment to making the health and safety of our fans and personnel the top priority during the COVID-19 crisis. Ring of Honor has canceled all live events that had been scheduled for June. Ring of Honor appreciates your understanding through these difficult times as everyone does their part in helping stop the spread of the virus. Ring of Honor will continue to provide timely updates related to live touring plans going forward. The entire Ring of Honor staff, talent, and partners remain committed to providing daily and weekly content on all platforms. So, I mean, the bottom line is, man, you're not going to see fans at Raw on Monday or next week.
Or probably anytime soon, because even once any state, whether it be Florida, Oklahoma, or whatever, gives the green light to live shows with fans in attendance, it's not like a flip of a switch where people are going to be showing up the next day. You got to book it. You got to make sure you can actually get. You got to handle the logistical aspect of it. So,
well,
even if,
I wonder. You're absolutely right in terms of like arenas and stuff. The Performance Center might be a different case though.
Yeah, Performance Center would be a different case if it was simply a matter of okay, we can open the doors, and you know, if 25% capacity is the upper limit, then you're talking
100 people.
What? 50, 100 people maybe.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But you know, I guess for a venue of that size, it'd be much easier to say, okay, you sit here, you sit here, you sit here, you sit here. If you have, I mentioned the Amway Center in Orlando earlier. I don't know the exact capacity of it. Let's say it's 15,000. So a quarter, you're roughly talking about 3,500. Mm-hmm. How are you going to handle the ticketing?
Which is the
that?
Average attendance for a SmackDown anyways.
I know. You know, and it said, you know, adhere to social distancing orders and, you know, 25% capacity. How are you going to handle the ticketing aspect of that? You're just going to, you know, like say I can only sell at one every third ticket, you know, and then then you got to have enough security around to make sure people adhere to that. Because you buy a ticket in the upper deck for $20.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, there's thousands of seats available down there in the lower bowl. I'm going to go down there.
So the optimist in me thinks that they would enforce this super strict.
Yeah.
But given what we've heard, there was a Tampa Bay Times article about one of the newspapers in Tampa Bay did a report, like an expose about seemingly the state of Florida wanting to cover up the actual death count. That's why, like, when DeSantis was talking during the press conference today, I was like, this all kind of sounds like it might be Fantasyland stuff. You know what I mean? This guy might be getting his scripts from Disneyland in terms of reporting on these numbers, how Florida is a miracle state.
Yeah, I know.
You got to take it with a grain of salt. And that's why I kind of think that I just get the feeling that they're going to plow ahead with everything sooner than later. So it might be that we'll see fans in June. That's a distinct possibility, but next Monday, that ain't going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen next Monday. No, not going to happen next Monday. It could be, like you mentioned, there was no indication today that DeSantis was green lighting this task force recommendation. Who's to say Monday he can't show up at the podium again and say, all right, I had the weekend to think about it. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Open for business.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if the WWE's deposit has cleared. Oh, it has. Okay.
It has. That super PAC that Linda works for just had another huge ad spend in the state. So sure.
Yeah. He also is evidently, according to him anyways, delegating a lot of this or relying on localities, on local jurisdictions to because I think his order, the public parks thing, I think it could be superseded by localities. I think.
All right. He was also very clear in the second press conference today that, you know, they were doing this phased reopening. And, you know, he said the harder hit counties weren't quite ready to get there yet, but the rest of the state more or less. But during the course of this rollout of phase one, if any part of the state kind of falls behind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then they will adjust accordingly, but they won't hold back. You know, he pointed out the northwestern part of the state. He's in Pensacola, the panhandle area, that if they're still, you know, meeting the criteria necessary to continue on towards phase two, they will be allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the state has to operate in, you know, on my
yeah
mass,
right
and,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, so yeah. So hopefully they're gonna do what's best. You can just hope that, but you know, there's a lot of pressure right now, and if that report is to be believed, they don't seem opposed on fudging the numbers to get where they want to go. Anyways, we'll keep an eye on this one.
Speaking about getting to where you want to go, there's some talent that don't want to go to Orlando to the Performance Center to perform on Raw or SmackDown. Of course, we've heard about Roman Reigns pulling out of WrestleMania 36. And according to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Sami Zayn might also be feeling a bit uncomfortable about performing at these shows. They are reporting, quote, the reason Zayn wasn't on SmackDown this past week with Nakamura and Cesaro is that he made the choice not to come, which everyone was told that they had the option to do. He was originally part of the show. Of course, I mentioned most famously Roman Reigns pulled out of Mania 36. And now apparently commentators are not allowed to utter his name. And some people think that's indicative of that he's got backstage heat. I just wonder if it's the fact they don't know he's going to be back. So
is there any substance to that? Because I saw the thing on WrestleTalk. I think it was WrestleTalk. Mm-hmm. And they had said, you know, he's been removed. He hasn't been removed from the SmackDown show banner,
no.
From either of those. And I'll believe it when I see something else, but just the circumstantial evidence.
I suspect the reason they say not to mention him because they don't know when he's going to be back.
That's what I think too, is that nobody knows when he's going to be back. Nobody knows if he's going to wait until there's a vaccine or if there's a solid sort of rollout of drugs. You know, nobody knows when he's going to be back. So why exactly Talk about him? You know,
I'm going to do the rest of this episode is John Cena making a silly face because my video is not working well. And we've seen that both Raw and SmackDown have been operating with very limited rosters. For example, we haven't seen Kevin Owens since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So they're probably more than likely, several other superstars who've decided it's not worth the risk. They're just going to stay home.
And I don't know. I haven't tracked them mentioning or not mentioning the names of other superstars we haven't seen as well. And I don't think you can just assume that there's heat on somebody. Now, it wouldn't shock me at all if there was heat on Roman, because he bowed out of WrestleMania at the last minute. I could see it as a possibility, but until we hear from like a source, I don't think you can assume that's the case.
Exactly. Anyways, there is a SmackDown tonight. We will be doing a recap live on the Twitch, 9 p.m. tonight. It's my oldest kid's birthday, so we got family dinner, so we got to postpone it an hour.
9 Pacific, midnight Eastern.
Yes, recap here on the YouTube right afterwards. Here's what we got for SmackDown, kicking things off. Otis and Dolph Ziggler to battle in Money in the Bank qualifying match.
That should be good. This should be good too. Mandy Rose to meet Carmella in their own Money in the Bank qualifying match.
Daniel Bryan looks to get payback for Drew Gulak's loss to King Corbin.
I like how they, like, Sami Zayn won't show up, so like, just go out to give those guys to Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the New Day welcome the Forgotten Sons to the ring for a non-title clash. Forgotten Sons are going to pick up a win here, man?
Could be. One thing I want to mention is we talked in the NXT episode how Mauro was talking over Beth Phoenix a lot, like we do when we're doing this through Zoom. It's because they were doing it at home, probably through Zoom.
I think they were doing this. I think they said, who had the report on this? Was it Sean Rassap or Meltzer?
It was in the Observer, the newsletter today.
And like the camera is like pointed at the, like they have a camera like that's pointed at the ring so they can just call the action from home. Hopefully they have, yeah. So that's gotta be awkward doing it that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see us, yeah, sometimes we're just talking over each other. We're trying to get the feel of it down still, but you know,
yeah,
it takes
time.
So anyways.
Yep.
That is it for News Brief today. Like Larson mentioned, we're going to be live on Twitch tonight for our SmackDown review. It'll go up on VOD right here at YouTube right afterwards. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.